As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Moon Day, Monday, Labor Day, September the 7th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news. Always have that for you. Hard facts, lots of those. And we might even advance a few workable solutions for you as well today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you're certainly in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me by email, bvlhost, like Become Vocal Local, bvlhost@centurytel.net. Love to get your emails. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that snail mail address is Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and all the other micro broadcasters and affiliates that may or may not be carrying this broadcast, but certainly you might consider it. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and of course, short calls are welcome. Gold this morning knocking on the door of $1,000. Silver is trading above $16. We'll talk about that in a moment. East Indian gold sales are slow. Labor Day, putting the day in perspective. We're going to talk a lot about that today. And maybe if we run out of that topic and want to go someplace else, we'll return to man's role in changing the face of the earth. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into those market reports for Monday, September the 7th, 2009, after trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, most of what's happening in New York is closed today. But nevertheless, the gold market never stops, then never closes. The gold spot market this morning, so far off $1.40 in early morning trading, trading at $993.10. Yes, knocking on that door of 1,000 again. Silver above $16, trading up 5 cents at $16.27 an ounce. Platinum up $4 as well, $1,257 a troy ounce. Palladium, $291 flat on early morning trading so far. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $990.70 for a low, $997.80. That's music to my ears. So far at $993.10 an ounce, gold is up year to year, $190.20 for a 23.69% return on your investment. Get that with Cracker Jacks. London Gold Fix this morning. The boys in London set the gold price at $992.75. We can see it's trading above that now. The New York futures market, of course, is closed. The Dow Jones on Friday closed up 97 at 9,441. The NASDAQ was flat, 2018, call it 2019, and the S&P was up 13 on Friday at 1,016. We'll be back on the other side for the rest of the story. Until then, hang around.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Labor Day, September the 7th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Getting started out here this morning. Can we come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And yes, indeed, there was a little bit of trading going on here. It's always going on, you know, actually. It just closes momentarily. But the gold market runs globally. And so we found gold up off $1.40 off its Friday closing, I guess, at $993.10. And silver trading at $16.27. Not bad news. Not bad news for the gold bugs, that's for sure. Anyway, continuing down, dropping a bit further into the market report, we see crude oil up 72 cents early morning trading at $68.74 a barrel. The U.S. dollar index drops another 12 basis points, trading below 78 at 77.97. In the foreign exchange rates, the Canadian dollar trades up 98 basis points, a big strong move for the Canadian dollar, trading at 93 cents U.S. You can fill up your pockets again with Mexican pesos, but you're going to have to pay 8 cents once again as it drops 12 basis points, but they're now trading at 8 cents U.S. The euro up 14 basis points, trading at $1.43. And the British pound flat on the day so far, $1.64. The Swiss franc up 17 basis points, trading at 94 cents U.S. You know, we look at the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, Mara Russia, India and China, and we look at India and China in the news today. India, this off Reuters, Mumbai, Mumbai, gold demand poor as the inauspicious period begins. What's an inauspicious period? I guess it would probably be a time where you wouldn't want to step on a crack so that you don't break your mother's back. But nevertheless, this news from Reuters, India's physical gold prices were almost unchanged on poor demand on Monday as traders avoided buying following the start of a period considered inauspicious for purchases, dealers said. Maybe we should have a holiday like this in America, 365 days of inauspicious buying. Anyway, traders expect the demand to remain sluggish during Shradh, S-H-R-A-D-H, you pronounce it, I don't know how to do it, a period to pay homage to ancestors that lies between September the 5th and September the 19th. So we'll see fewer and fewer gold purchases being made, no doubt, in India over the next 14 days. During Shraddha, demand will remain low. Traditional traders will stay away from the market, said a dealer with a private bank in Mumbai. Gold dipped a touch on Monday, but stayed near the psychological level of $1,000 an ounce on buying, linked to weaker U.S. dollar and fears about inflation, which could still spur another rally. So you can see, not everybody in the world believes that the recession's over, certainly not our trading partners in East India. This, China in the news, again, Bloomberg, Masami Suga and Sunichi Gazaza. Say this, writing for Bloomberg, September the 7th, Japan Steelworks Limited, a maker of atomic reactor parts for Areva SA and Toshiba Corp, more than doubled its forecast for China's nuclear power plant construction because of stimulus spending and environmental pressures. Always got to have those environmental pressures. The country may build about 22 reactors in the 5 years ending 2010. What the hell is all this? 22 reactors in the year ending 2010, and 132 units thereafter. Oh, my. That's a couple of nuclear reactors, alrighty. Let's see. President Ikuo Sato said in an interview, Japan Steelworks has the only plant that makes the central part of a large-size nuclear reactor's containment vessel in a single piece, reducing radiation risk. China, the world's largest energy consumer after the U.S., is increasing spending on atomic energy as part of a 4 trillion yuan, or $586 billion, economic stimulus and as it curbs greenhouse gas emissions. Japan Steelworks is counting on the rising reactor demand as the global recession curbs sales to customers such as car makers and electronics companies. Here's a quote. The potential for investment in nuclear power is huge, said Qian, an analyst at UOBK Hyun Limited in Shanghai. Quote, only a number of small companies in China have the right to develop nuclear power plants, but the country is open to foreign companies to help build reactors and to provide equipment, close quote. Japan Steelworks, which has lost 4.6% of its value this year, climbed 8.2% to 1,174 yen on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. The Nikkei's 225 stock average rose 1.3%. China became the world's largest emitter of greenhouse gases from burning oil and coal in 2006, followed by the U.S., Russia, India, and Japan, according to U.S. Department of Energy data compiled by Bloomberg News. Now, we might come back to that, but just kind of keep it in mind. A couple of reactors being built here, but here's another kind of a curious note. Again off Bloomberg, Iran says the nuclear debate is over and ready for Obama talk. By Ladan Nasseri and Ali Shikholislami. September the 7th, Bloomberg. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said the debate over Iran's nuclear program is over, while he's ready to discuss a range of international issues with President, well, you know how I feel about him, Barry the usurper. So what's up with all of that? We got the State Department and the DOD and Little Israel, all with their shorts in a bunch over nuclear development in Iran, and yet China is going crazy with the stuff. Well, let's find out more about it. His first formal press conference since June's re-election, Ahmadinejad, and he said today he didn't recognize deadlines for talks on Iran's nuclear plans and isn't willing to negotiate on its undeniable rights. Iran is ready for talks about the peaceful use of nuclear energy for all countries, as well as organizing worldwide nuclear non-proliferation, Ahmadinejad said. His press conference in Tehran was carried live by state television, being reported here by Bloomberg State News. The U.S. and its main allies suspect Iran of using its nuclear program to develop atomic weapons. Iran says the technology is destined for peaceful uses only. Israel said last month it wanted, quote, substantive and prompt steps to halt Iran's military nuclear program, close quote. The International Atomic Energy Agency and Iran are in a stalemate, quote unquote, over Iran's nuclear intentions. The IAEA Director General Mohammad El-Baradei said in a prepared remark for the Board of Governors in Vienna today. Ahmadinejad, who won a second term in the disputed election, urged the U.S. to change its approach to relations with Iran, saying the Persian Gulf nation would welcome this. Ahmadinejad said, Iran is ready to discuss global issues with Barry the usurper. Talks with the U.S.? Well, we'll have to figure out what those talks were after this break. Stay with us as we continue right here on Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Your calls are certainly welcome throughout today's broadcast, 866-841-1065. You can call in and share some ideas of solutions for this great global cesspool that we seem to find ourselves in. Your calls are certainly welcome. And then open lines, open minds, Labor Day Monday. I'd like to hear your news from the hinterlands. Definitely that. But, you know, we hear about fission and fusion and fusion and fission. Let's switch over the gears here a little bit and go into fusion for a moment. This is a little bit of old news, but it's continuing. It's happening now. The Missouri House Interim Committee on State Intelligence Analysis Oversight met today. This would be August the 31st, 2009, in the Grandview, Missouri. The committee, chaired by Representative Rob Dixon and co-chaired by Representative Jim Guest, heard testimony from citizens concerned with the MIAC report released last spring by the Missouri Highway Patrol Fusion Center, and as you all know, that caused quite an explosion in the Patriot community, especially the Ron Paul folk. Grandview Alderman Mike Ferguson testified his concern that the MIAC has no oversight and suggested the state legislature should set up an immediate oversight committee. Quote, someone needs to read and approve these reports before they're released. Close quote. Of course, Alderman Mike Ferguson would have been a little bit more on point if he had just called for the elimination of fusion centers, but that would require a whole lot of shaking going on. Continuing, the committee is charged with taking recommendations back to the legislature regarding the MIAC, that is the Missouri Information Analysis Center. Last spring, the MIAC garnered national attention when a report was leaked to the news media and the independent news media. That report profiled many Missouri citizens as potential militia members, including yours truly. The report profiled gun owners, Christians, homeschoolers, constitutionalists, and implied that persons who displayed the Gadsden flag or bumper stickers of presidential candidates Ron Paul, Bob Barr, or Chuck Baldwin were persons of interest for law enforcement to watch out for. Of course, they can see my truck coming for miles. I'm still adorned with all of the Ron Paul regalia and refuse to take it off. So, nevertheless, bumper stickers, stick-on signs, you name it, it's got it. I'm a person of interest. He expressed, again, concern that his party's members simply want our federal government to follow the Constitution, and the members were unfairly lumped with people who are true threats to society. A lot of nonsense in all of that, actually. Haven't followed the Constitution in some time. When asked what the solution was, he recommended eliminating the MIAC department completely. There you go. That's the right idea. When asked what the solution was, he recommended, again, eliminating the MIAC department completely. Castle testified that the federal government has gone well beyond its mandate in the U.S. Constitution. That theme, that the federal government is not abiding by the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, was a concern of several citizens and at least four of the legislators on the committee. So I guess if nothing else, some people are waking up to the fact that we have stopped using the Constitution. Deb Wells, National Member Services Director for Campaign for Liberty, testified that a 2007 audit shows nearly 700 people a day are being added to the watch list. She fears she might be on that watch list, you can count on it, Deb, and could be detained at a simple traffic stop. I would suggest you watch how you drive, don't text on the road. It appears nearly impossible to remove your name from the watch list due to the way the information is shared worldwide. And if you haven't been listening to our Tuesdays and Thursday broadcast with our very special guest, Vicki Davis, about this worldwide information sharing, you definitely don't want to miss tomorrow's broadcast. Here's a quote from Deb. Will I be put in jail for 60 days because I believe in the Second Amendment or because I supported Chuck Baldwin for president? Larry Flinchpaugh, a Buchanan County volunteer for Campaign for Liberty, testified, quote, I was appalled and insulted to read that I was being profiled as possibly belonging to a subversive group simply because of my political activism. That's cost some people their lives to be politically active there, Mr. Flinchpaugh. Read your history. Flinchpaugh, an author from St. Joe, Missouri, further testified, quote, I believe that our government should, one, abide by the Constitution. Two, adopt sound monetary policy by abolishing the private and unconstitutional Federal Reserve and fractional reserve banking and the 16th Amendment authorizing income taxes to be collected on our wages. Three, stop being the policeman of the world and bring our troops home from most of the hundreds of military bases around the world. And four, respect the sovereignty of the individual states. And last, recognize that a government that governs least governs best. Does this sound like a description of a militia movement member or terrorist or a patriotic American who believes like our founding fathers, close quotes? Well, those are all some mighty damning things to say in public, Larry. Larry, be careful about railing against the Federal Reserve or bringing up that Constitution, that pesky piece of paper. Anyway, protectionism just doesn't fly in modern America, never does. Paul Hamby, Missouri coordinator for Campaign for Liberty, testified, political profiling discourages free speech. Yeah, I'd say so, Paul. Beyond the constitutional issues, we need to look at the big picture, he says. How we will ever find the best solutions to these issues facing our country today if we cannot have honest and open debates. Close quote. Hamby praised Missouri Highway Patrolman and then testified that the MIAC report hurt the department's credibility. Will Missouri's law enforcement take these reports seriously next time? What if the next report is a real threat of the next Timothy McVeigh? Paul Hamby. Time to do your homework. Hamby held up John Ashcroft's books, Never Again, and told the committee, never again shall Missouri government profile our citizens based on their political beliefs. John Ashcroft's book, Never Again. That seems to be an Israeli line. They use that all the time, never again. That's where they exercise the Samson option and melt the world with their 200-plus nuclear weapons. 72 fusion centers have been set up across the United States, funded by the Department of Homeland Security with a 2009 budget of $274 million. Pretty much a drop in the bucket, but nevertheless, let's be aware of those fusion centers. Representative Brian D. Neves expressed concern that this was another case of the federal government telling us how to run our state. Quote, the risk is that we start these projects with federal dollars and then 2 or 3 years later, the federal government comes along with mandates tied to the money. The House committee will hold one more hearing for public testimony. Well, that's what becoming vocal local is all about. It's necessary to go to some of these meetings and testify, but it really helps to get your research straight and not get involved in the dialectic. The real dialectic here is far greater than just the fusion centers. Going to be pretty hard to just take the fusion centers out of the mix and leave the department FEMA's departments in agencies all across the United States in place. It's going to be very hard to get rid of FEMA without getting rid of SEMA. It's going to be hard to get rid of SEMA without getting rid of the United Nations Agenda 21 program and so on and so forth. So, with all that said, what's going on today? Another one of these merchant man's holy days some years back when I really started to look into this and started to acquire sets and sets of encyclopedias and things in my house. Every time another day came up in red or yellow or blue or something on the calendar, I would go look up what they were talking about. All of these holidays and holy days. Well, we have another holy day on us right now, the Labor Day holiday, and we'll discuss it after this break. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio. The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here on Labor Day in the United States, which is the first Monday in September, a legal holiday in all the states and the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and Alaska. The celebration of this day was inaugurated by the Knights of Labor, who in 1882 held a parade in New York, and again in 1884 when a resolution by George R. Lloyd, one of the Knights of Labor, was passed, recommending that parades be held on Labor Day. According to an article entitled Labor Day in Bulletin Number 29 of the United States Department of Labor, published July 1900. Oregon, Alex Ansari's home state, Oregon, was the first state to legislate for general observance of Labor Day as a legal holiday. This law, enacted February the 21st, 1887, specified the first Saturday in June as Labor Day. But in 1893, the day of observance was changed to the first Monday in September. Other states which passed similar legislation in 1887 were Colorado, Denver, Mile High City, the new capital of America, Colorado, on March the 15th, New Jersey, April the 8th, New York, May the 6th, and Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy's state, on May the 11th. All these states set the first Monday in September as the holiday. However, in Europe, the celebration of the 1st of May as Labor Day commenced in 1890. May Day, May Day, May Day, Labor Day, it would be. Maybe we should review a little bit here about Labor Day. Just go back to the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto briefly. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, the Penguin Classics, Communist Manifesto, a very good, accessible, and inexpensive edition of the work. Of course, in the beginning, this cannot be effected except by means of despotic inroads on the rights of properties. In other words, how do we get to a communist country? And on the conditions of bourgeois production. So it's an attack on property and bourgeois or middle-class production. By means of measures, therefore, which appear economically insufficient and untenable, but which in the course of the movement outstrip themselves, necessitate further inroads upon the social, the old social order, and are unavoidable as a means of entirely revolutionizing the mode of production. These measures will, of course, be different in different countries. Nevertheless, in the most advanced countries, the following will be pretty generally applicable. Number one, the abolition of property in land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. Two, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Three, the abolition of all right of inheritance. Four, confiscation of the property of all emigrants and rebels. Five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Six, centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. Seven, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state. The bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. Eight, equal liability of all to labor. Establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. Nine, the combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, the gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of the population over the country. And ten, free education for all in public schools, abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production, etc., and etc. When, in the course of development, class distinctions have disappeared and all production has been concentrated in the hands of a vast association of the whole nation, the public power will lose its political character. Political power, properly so called, is merely the organized power of one class for oppressing another. If the proletariat, during its contest with the bourgeoisie, is compelled by the force of circumstances to organize itself as a class, by means of a revolution, it makes itself the ruling class and as such sweeps away by force the old conditions of production. Then it will, along with these conditions, have swept away the conditions for the existence of class antagonisms and of classes generally, and will therefore have abolished its own supremacy as a class. And it continues. Back to the encyclopedia here, where that Labor Day article came from. We also find labor exchanges, a name sometimes employed to applied to employment bureaus. It was also a term given to a class of institutions founded by the followers of Robert Owen in 1832 and 1835. Does anyone remember Robert Owen? The Owenites, Manchester, New Lanark, the Stackham and Packham New Industrial Revolution, waiting like the jaws of a shark for the people driven off of their lands in the Highlands of Scotland and other places, right into the mouth of the factory system. Robert Owen, one very interesting collectivist fellow, if you haven't ever studied him. And then, of course, he sent his son, and a bunch of their socialist partners to America. And they set up, I think it was either New Harmony or New Freedom. Unusual twist of names there, New Harmony and New Freedom. The group that was in either New Harmony or New Freedom left New Harmony or New Freedom when they sold it to Robert Owen's son, and they went to the other place. So it's sometimes confusing in my mind. But if you remember both New Harmony and New Freedom, you can look them up. Google them, scribble them, dogpile, or web ferret them. And while you're at it, you might look into the Oneida community as well. But anyway, these folk were designed to bring about an exchange of products of these folk. These labor exchanges were designed to bring about an exchange of products of labor without the intervention of money. Everybody's been talking about barter economies lately. Well, it's been around a while. Many stores were founded for the purchase and sale of commodities for labor notes. Labor notes, in other words, they create their own funny money. And the amount of time spent in producing a commodity being the basis of its value. Different classes of labor were all valued alike. The plan was soon found impracticable. That's right, folks. Someone that is working in the ditch really deserves to have all of the same value in their labor as an artisan that knows how to work steel or iron or a brain surgeon. Everybody gets paid the same equally poor wage. But that's a labor exchange. But of course, we've been talking about this worldwide or this global job market, the job exchange with Vicky. And so we can see how even though the leaves on the calendar advance as we go through decade after decade after decade, the overall goal towards a global collective or globalism changes not. Here's another little bit you might not have known about. This is the Labor Church. Again, out of the same encyclopedia. Labor Church. It was a movement started in England to bring religious work into the labor movement. John Trevor was the founder in 1891. The first Labor Church service opened in Charlton Town Hall, Manchester. Oh, England again. Wouldn't you know it? Manchester, Newland Arc. The growth of the movement was such that at a conference held in 1893, the Labor Church Union was organized with 10 churches represented, and by 1894, there were 25 labor churches in England and Scotland. Now, perhaps some of you heard over the weekend, I guess it's still technically the weekend, reports coming out of England about a new series of labor churches opening. Another evangelist movement, evangelical type of a movement, trying to reach out to those poor, drugged out, dumbed down Englishers, Britishers, I guess you could say, for the same purpose, to bring the church to the working man once again. So, again, like I said, around and around and around. Will the circle ever be unbroken? Here's five principles adopted at the inauguration of this labor church, declaring religion part of the labor movement, that it is no class movement or class religion, but non-sectarian. Careful now, getting into tricky territory. I can hear the Unitarians humming in the background. In 1903, a restatement of principles was drawn up embodying the conditions of the former one and declaring the labor movement, besides its religious activity, includes improvement of social conditions. Well, the sociologists are everywhere. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today. restore it today and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Ah, yes, we have returned once again, considering a little bit about the Labor Church on this Labor Day, September the 7th, 2009. And these merchant men's holy days always give me a little bit of time to pause and think about what it is that we're being asked to believe. But, of course, I wouldn't want to be the Grinch that stole Labor Day for many years. I had no clue myself and would just look forward to this wonderful 3-day holiday for years. I was very much involved with backpacking and mountain climbing, and I looked forward to these long weekends where I might be able to take some of my comp time and take the Friday off as well, and maybe the Tuesday too, and go do some serious mountain climbing. And I used to go to the Jerry Lakes and Jerry Mountain and the Jerry Glacier on Labor Day to celebrate my birthday as well. And that's a very peculiar hike where it's basically a mile up. In the first mile in, from the moment you set your foot on the trail, it's 1 mile up in the first mile in for many thousands and thousands of feet gain elevation. But once you get up there in the Northern Cascades and you get up to those 5 little lakes nestled in their mountain bowl on a shelf that overlooks the Cascades, it is indeed a beautiful place. So I looked forward to that, but let's go back and look back at this Labor Church and close out on this. In 1903, again, a restatement of principles was drawn up embodying the conditions of the former one and declaring the labor movement, besides its religious activity, includes improvement of social conditions, development of personal character, both essential to emancipation from moral and social bondage, and therefore insists on the study of the economic and moral forces of society. Over 30 labor churches were eventually established, but since 1907, the movement apparently lost its vitality. Of course, tomorrow, school children all across America will be subjected to a little bit more of the labor movement's philosophies and social programming, as Barry the Usurper takes the stage. Of course, you've all heard about that. Labor Day It's not really a celebration for many this year. This by Denny Bannister out of the Barry County Advertiser this week, September the 2nd. He writes, September the 7th is Labor Day, a federal holiday officially created by Congress in 1894, a dozen years after the holiday really originated. Labor Day has its roots in labor union struggles of the late 19th century, when the Central Labor Union of New York created Labor Day as a, quote, day off for the working citizens, close quote. People associate Labor Day with workers in huge factories, not farmers. Still, agriculture is the nation's largest employer. When you consider all of the people employed in the process of getting our food from the farm to your dinner table, agriculture is responsible for nearly 20% of all jobs in the U.S. Labor Day honors the working class. Its beginnings were very political. Labor unions were looking for members, and to generate interest, the unions got laborers a day off to attend festivities, including parades and a great number of speeches praising the labor movement. Confrontations between factory owners and labor unions turned violent, and politicians were caught between the big industrial giants whose support money they sought, and the working class of the fast-growing labor unions whose support and votes they also sought. With federal troops busting union protests, there's your posse comitatus again. Politicians tried to seek favor by officially recognizing Labor Day as a federal holiday. The differences between the first Labor Day and Labor Day today are dramatic. There are still some parades and speeches, but most Americans use this three-day holiday to hold a final summer fling, swimming, barbecuing, and spending some time watching the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon on TV. Oh, God, get a brain. Consider, however, the changes between Labor Day just 1 year ago and today. Since last Labor Day, some of our biggest corporations filed for bankruptcy, and Labor Day is a little more difficult to celebrate this year with such large numbers of American workers unemployed, about 7 million. Americans must develop a greater appreciation for our mutual interdependence. Denny Bannister is a bit of a change agent here. Greater appreciation for our mutual interdependence. Maybe you should say interdependence and interoperability, Denny. Employers and employees, management and labor, stockholders and time clock punchers, white collar and blue collar, we need each other. Yes, together we can. Perhaps now more than ever, regardless of who or what was to blame for America's economic mess, we're all in this together and must unite if we are going to work our way out of it. Oh, yes, workers of the world. Unite, I would say that Denny Bannister's quite disingenuous. Let's go to the proletarian lessons. This by John Carreker, a very interesting little proletarian workbook. This came from a mission district in San Francisco, used bookstore. Workers' Party, handwritten in the front of it, Los Angeles section, Proletarian Lessons, Chicago, Charles H. Caron Company, a cooperative, published it, and it was printed by the Union Printing Press. Talks about what is the class struggle, what is the state, what is working class political action, the revolutionary political action in the labor movement, what is political education, and what is Marxian knowledge? Here's a little bit from the revolutionary political action in the labor movement, proletarian lesson number 4, just a bit of it. The revolutionary political party of the proletariat is not a separate and exclusive organization standing over and above the working class. It is flesh of its flesh and bone of its bone. It has, quote, no interests separate and apart from those of the whole of the proletariat as a whole, close quote. The working class is divided into two great sections, the organized and unorganized. In America today, owing to certain conditions, the larger proportion of the proletariat is outside the labor unions. I must remind you, I'm reading directly from an original copy There is no date that is given on this, but because of the paper's color and the ink and the so on and so forth, I'd have to put this in the 30s or 40s. The publication date, that would be. Continuing, again, the working class is divided into two great sections, the organized and the unorganized. In America today, owing to certain conditions, the larger portion of the proletariat is outside of the labor unions today. Not quite the case. Therefore, the Revolutionary Party, representing the interests of the proletariat as a whole, makes its appeal to the entire working class, organized and unorganized. This appeal it makes in no abstract fashion, but in certain concrete ways that the workers can comprehend. Of course, you probably thought that communism was dead. God is certainly dead. It said so on the front page of the Time magazine back when I was young. Continuing here from the Proletarian Lessons, it urges the non-union worker to organize with his kind. It points out to those workers that the difference between an army and a mob is a matter of organization. And so we'll see what kind of organization exists in those that come to protest the G20 in Pittsburgh, whether or not they be a mob or an army. It incessantly makes this appeal to the unorganized and aims to awaken them to a consciousness of their class position and class interests. It contends that the organized mass of workers cannot struggle for emancipation from capitalism if they are not ready for the more elementary aspects of the struggle. It sees also in the numerical expansion of labor unions a ripening of the proletariat toward the overthrow of the capitalist society. And of course, at the G8 meeting, we heard that it was time for a new capitalism to emerge. It urges upon the organized workers the necessity again for a continuous struggle to raise wages and shorten the hours of labor. Oh, the wages went up, all right. And as I've reported in the last couple of weeks, we're shortening the hours of the worker now below 40 hours. Very few people have a full-time job. Few have benefits accrued that way. Now, I think the average working week is 38.7 hours. Not quite enough to satisfy the need for your medical care. Just enough to put a little bit of bread on your table and gasoline in your gas tank so that you can come back again on Tuesday. We'll be right back. Stay with us as we begin hour number two.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Moon Day, Labor Day, September the 7th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. The first hour, we've started out a little bit of financial news. We see that gold early morning trading was running about $993.10. Checked over the break, and it looks like we've broken over the 995 mark again, moving on towards that $1,000 mark within a $5 bill of that right now. The lows and the highs in the London or in the gold spot market this morning early was 990.70 and 997.80. Will it top that? It may today. We'll see what it looks like. Tomorrow morning it might open up above 1,000. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. Back again to this proletarian lessons. Why do we read all this communist claptrap? Well, just as a heads up, Dorothy, to let you know that we're a lot deeper into this collectivization than you might think. The globalists have never slept. Americans have slept. They go on their holy days and they do all their various pilgrimages and crusades, but the globalists march on. Continuing and back to the proletarian lessons, proletarian lesson number four, revolutionary political action and the labor movement. We're talking about Labor Day here. It goes on and continues and it says that although the chief recruiting ground for revolutionary work is the ranks of organized labor, it's not the whole field. A stupid policy has manifested itself in this relation. Some, quote, revolutionists, close quote, have turned to the labor unions and given them their exclusive attention and totally neglected the unorganized mass without. Don't you always hear in the PAY trade movement, you know, that we really have to reach out and get more people on board. We've got to reach out to that unorganized mass, the totally neglected, and so on and so on. The blundering herd, the recent history of alleged revolutionary political actionists in the American labor movement is a record of blunder after blunder, which, as they carefully turn the page, has resulted in an almost complete elimination of the progressive wing of the labor movement. The progressives. And that's on another day. We've talked about them in the past. Crudity often leaves the progressive unit, a unionist, no other choice than that of going forward entirely to the position of the revolutionist or going back to the camp of the reactionist. So often I've suggested that perhaps we stop reacting to the things that are happening around us and become proactive, but I guess that would make us revolutionists. This is one of the most serious errors, as it is easier for the timid progressive to slip back than to go forward to something he's not ready for. This action has turned the progressive doorkeeper of the unions, who formerly was prepared to meet the communist speaker with a smile and an extended hand, into a scowling sentinel who cooperates with the reactionary wing for the exclusion of the communist propagandist and his message. Always more effective to go inside and take a seat at the table, then to meet the gatekeeper with a scowl. Continuing, it furnishes an unobstructed opportunity for the conservative leaders to line up to the membership behind the old capitalist parties. In highly developed countries like Britain and America, the organized section of the working class plays a strong social part. Yeah, key on that word, social. The official role of this section of the workers is usually very reactionary and therefore in direct conflict with the best interest of the workers as a class. Well, we'll have to figure out just a little bit more about these proletarian lessons when we return from this, our first break of the second hour. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back again to our Monday, Labor Day, September the 7th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official webpage of this broadcasting network. And our call-in numbers today are 512-904-8014 for those in the Austin, Texas area, or that have unlimited long-distance access, or I think option two will allow you to take Oracle Broadcasting on the road with you on your mobile or around the yard, perhaps. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. I like to think of this as a one-room internet homeschool classroom for the young and the old alike. And certainly for neither love nor money will you find much of the information that is taught in any of the schools or universities that make up our federally controlled, dumbed-down system of diffused free, gratuitous public education discussed here. Instead, we cover the news they don't cover. I was upbraided by a friend over the weekend, earlier in the weekend, the actual weekend, the Saturday and Sunday, for reading too much on the broadcast. Well, I'm awfully sorry. That's what I do. I read. I read from the moment I wake up until the moment I switch off the light and head off to my bed each day, 7 days a week, without cessation, so that I can find information to fill in the missing gaps, not only in history, but also in my understanding, my knowledge stream. And then I bring the choicest and only the choicest of the tidbits to you, the listeners, on a daily basis. So let's go back in and take another little look at these proletarian lessons. Again, I'm working right out of a original copy of this little poison booklet circulated among the communists. This was from a used bookseller in the Mission District in San Francisco, California. San Francisco! Ah, yeah. Lots of communists in San Francisco, lots of collectivists, lots of socialists, lots of progressives. Back in the early days, the hippies, the yippies, the yuppies, the bee there, all of that hotbed there. I understand there's a trouble with the bridge and they're having to close the Golden Gate, I think it is. Well, they figure out how to fix a piece of steel, but nevertheless, let's continue. How do communists work in the labor unions? Question here. The communists, without losing sight of fact, work to build up and strengthen that which the capitalists are so anxious to tear down, the mass of organized workers, the labor unions. The communists see in the unions, despite their shortcomings in structural form and their political short-sightedness, not to mention the plentiful supply of treacherous leaders, the most advanced field for proletarian action in general and for revolutionary political action. In particular, revolutionary political actionists do not stand at a distance and announce to the working class, organized and unorganized, that it must come to them for guidance. No, on the other hand, they do not follow the stupid policy that pseudo-revolutionists have been so guilty of, namely, thrusting ready-made formulas upon the labor unions from without. Are there some in the alternate media that would like to thrust ready-made formulas upon you, with their bullhorns, etc., with the consistent communist guided by Marxian understanding, the question does not arise as to whether it is better to bore from within or bore from without. He is a union man, an integral part of the ranks, and as much he is no interloper. He is not making himself a bore to everybody around him with artificial slogans and far-fetched formulas, but he is watchful and patient and consistently carries on his work of penetrating the ranks with a clearer concept of the class nature of society and the nature of the task that lies before the working class. He has respect of his fellow unionists, even though the latter may disagree for the time with his political views. He is not looked upon as a nut or a nuisance or a wingnut or a kook, I guess. He is not regarded as a destructive agency, but as one who is trying to build up the organization. Well, there's so much more about that in this book, The Proletarian Lessons. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, just a little bit, about what is, qu'est-ce que c'est, as the French say, what is it that it is, what is Labor Day? Perhaps we can go back to the encyclopedia for a bit more. Labor bureaus. Nearly every state in the Union has a labor bureau, or Department of Labor, the oldest being that of Massachusetts, organized in 1869. Remember, 1848. Remember the writings of Auguste Comte and Henry St. Simon coming on Senatus at the same time in the beginning of the positivist movement in England, from which sprang the communist movement of Marx, hired as he was by them to write the manifesto. Continuing, several of the state bureaus, particularly those of New York and Connecticut, maintain free employment agencies. The state bureaus have been kept remarkably free from partisan politics, and they've been decidedly successful in the settling of labor disputes and in preventing strikes and lockouts. The chief functions delegated to be performed by the state bureaus are assistance in bettering the condition of toilers, investigating complaints of ill treatment and grievances to furnish information as a basis for enlightened legislation, to keep a record of the labor supply and labor conditions in the state, and to inform the general public of the results of its work. Remember, and always keep in mind, the International Migration and Development Agenda, published by the United Nations. Understand what Vicki is talking about when she's telling us about this interoperable international job bank. The unification or the uniformitarianism that is applied to education so that a telephone call screener trained in India and working in India would be seamlessly merged with the same from the Bronx or London or Mumbai. Continuing along here, in some states, the administration of the labor laws was committed to the bureaus, as also administering employment offices, compensation laws, etc. And almost on a weekly basis, we report on the vast numbers that are joining the lines at these labor bureaus, unemployment compensation, etc. These organizations proved so successful that the European nations soon followed the American example. Oh yeah, globalism demands that it be so. In 1891, France organized a Bureau of Labor, and in 1892, Germany followed with a Labor Commission. In 1893, a Labor Department under the direction of a Commission for Labor was instituted in England, Austria, Italy, Sweden, New Zealand, New South Wales, and Canada, and each have then since established similar bureaus. We'll be back right on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. I like to think of this broadcast also as a long chain forged out of a great many very similar links. And each day we add a new link to the chain, which we will eventually use to bind down this rogue government, which is so vitally important as we restore, in my mind, constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government to each of the several states. If nothing else, as an interim to go from this despotism and tyranny back to something a little bit more sensible and understandable. Think about truth, you know. We hear all kinds of things, you know, that people say, well, the wind blows. Well, the wind doesn't blow, the wind sucks. But you have to kind of dig into a little bit of meteorology to understand that phenomenon. Where's the best place to hide an elephant? Of course, in a herd of elephants. And so we study a lot of this nonsense, all of these various and sundry pieces of philosophical radicalism, because we at this time are charged with finding the very best of the very best. The techniques that have been used to bring us down and to bring us low. And maybe we can expedite our own recovery and restoration by understanding some of the techniques and the tools that have been used against us in the past. My little credo that I wrote some time back, I said, as globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are in our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states. And this is not meant to give place to the globalist's earlier maxim, think global and act local. That was popular in the 70s, back in the beginning of the Earth days. The real beginning of the green movement. Gaia worship coming on us and at us. The younger generations, the hippies, the flower children. But countering the craft and the guile of the change agents' use of voluntary compliance and affirmative action, those concepts are just the obverse and the reverse. That proposed by the Democrats, affirmative action, and that proposed by the Republicans, voluntary compliance. Voluntary compliance is still compliance. But countering this craft and guile of the change agents' use of voluntary compliance and affirmative action to affect implementation through public buy-in, they have got to get you to buy in on this. And so Vocal Local exposes the socioeconomic, political, and theological underpinnings of this globalist safety cult agenda. Right here Monday through Friday, 2 hours each morning. And exposing the globalist localism propaganda. Vocal Local reveals the true nature of public-private partnerships as nothing more than a naked move toward corporatism or corporate fascism. And wherever it is attempted, Vocal Local refuses to accept international, federal, or state grants in aid, realizing that whenever a people reach out for unearned shekels, the shackles of control are inevitably clamped on, and a truly informed, bold, vocal local people understand that it's a far easier task to block globalism by whatever name it be hidden, as it seeks to gain a foothold locally, than it is to excise once it's been lodged in an unsuspecting host, metastasizing thence within the very body politic. We just say no and become vocal local. So very important. Simple things. Knowledge is power. Certainly. But it's only powerful when it's combined with action. And these action plans and the central planners have short range, midterm, and long range plans. We all hear about 2010, 2012, 2020, Vision 2020, 2050 in the 21st century. Think tanks, war games, action plans, and yet some have no plans, not for this week, not for this month, not for this year, not for the 2010 election cycle, and no thought at all of 2012 and the election cycle there. By failing to plan, we fail to act. Continuing back to our study, getting a better handle on labor and the Labor Day process or program, or program me. We come across labor congresses, and a labor congress is an assemblage, either national or international, of representatives of organized labor. Various national labor congresses are held in several countries, particularly in England. Again, I'm reading from the American, the Encyclopedia Americana, I should have said, misspoke there. Copyrighted in 1951, originally published in 1927. This is a very article within this set of encyclopedias. But it says an assemblage, a labor congress is an assemblage, either national or international, of representatives of organized labor. And various national labor congresses are held in several countries, particularly in England, where annual conventions have been held since 1868. Oh, yeah. One of the oldest and longest standing organs and bodies inside the United Nations beast system is the ILO, the International Labor Organization. The first attempt to form an international organization of workers was made by a group of continental exiles. You can imagine which continental exile they might be, at a conference held in London in 1847. In which Karl Mordecai Marx took part. The Communist League that was formed issued Marx and Engels' famous manifesto, which we've read from this morning, just before the revolution of 1848. But the organization disappeared in the succeeding reaction. Did it? The first International Labor Congress was organized by the International Working Men's Association. The first international. The first international. Two L's and an E. The useless tales that point you right back to Mother England. From an etymological and philologistic standpoint. This first international was established in London in 1864. Its first congress was held at Geneva, Switzerland. In 1866, about 60 delegates, being present from England, France, Germany, Holland, and Switzerland. The internationalists, the globalists, really do have a bit of an advantage over Ma and Pa Kettle. Ma and Pa Kettle are hooked to their land, bound down by the need to milch their goat or cow. But the internationalist travels round about the world, going to the Doha round and all of these other sundry thousands of meetings held annually. The G20 coming up in Pittsburgh. The results of this meeting were the condemnation of the industrial employment of women, the advocating of technical education, and the organization of mutual credit associations. If you dissect that sentence, you will go back and find voluminous quantities of legislation that materially changed the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil, England, and all of Europe. Pick it up on the other side. Find out just a little bit more about the Labor Congresses on this Labor Day 2009.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, and let's continue and finish out a little bit more about this first international. And it reads from the encyclopedia this way: at the Congress of 1869 held at Basel, Switzerland, labor representatives were in attendance from Russia, Austria, Germany, France, England, Spain, Italy, and Switzerland. And this assembly, by a vote of 54-4, declared that landed property should be abolished. At the Congress at The Hague in 1872, the anarchists, led by Bakunin, set up an independent international, which continued a stormy existence until 1879. The first international, after holding two more congresses, the last in Philadelphia, in 1876 ceased to be an effective force. Before we go into the Second Internationale, let me just simply say this. There are three basic kinds of people in my life I have always detested. And those are liars, cheats, and thieves. Not that I've never told a lie myself, not that I've ever not maybe deceivingly cheated someone or stole something. Let the person without sin cast the first stone, but nevertheless, liars, cheats, and thieves are just people in general that I can't stand. Why? Well, because they tear away and they gnaw at the very social fabric. They alter the harmony, if you will, of life. Reprehensible, but if you boil them down, liars, cheats, and thieves, all three of them have at their core lying. I'll not go into it in great detail, someday I will. But there are basically then three kinds of peoples, and this all came out of a smoke-filled room back so long ago in my youth, thinking about things, becoming philosophically radical. As a young person, there are three basic kinds of people on this planet. I surmised then, and I still agree today. Thinkers, loafers, and doers. And thinkers are rather unusual people. Thinkers tend to stay up late, oft times. Sometimes they get up very early, but generally they have a tendency of getting up early or staying up late or whatever. They read and they read and they read and they study and they study and they write and they write and they write. And at the end of the day, they've got sheaves of paper and books opened every place, but very little has gotten done. Another type of people are the doers. Everybody's known a doer at least once in your life. Maybe you're a doer yourself listening to this broadcast this morning. The doers, you could just use an example right out of the garage, if you will. Having nothing better to do and nothing else to do, a doer might go in and open up the hood of the automobile and remove the carburetor from the engine and then take the carburetor over to the shop and sit down at the workbench and rebuild the carburetor. Why not? Maybe I'll get 1/4 of 1 mile per gallon more by rebuilding it. So they do. Or they wash and they wax and they polish the automobile, or they mow and they mow and they clip and they rake. You know the type. They're doing things all the time. Never stop. Doers. There's a third class of people, a third kind, and they're the loafers. Loafers oft times will sleep late quite late in the morning. And they'll stay up quite late at night. And during the daytime, they'll go round and about and they'll visit at all of the shops and the blacksmith shop and the carpenter shop and the shoemaker shop and the machine shop, and they'll visit, they'll bring donuts, and they're a real happy guy. Everybody loves to see him come. And they get to know the doers. Stop at the fence post, visit with the farmer, that sort of thing. You've all met one, all over. Never really does anything, kind of a time thief. But he gets to know all of the doers. And then at night, after the doers are all tucked into their beds, the loafer goes and visits with the thinkers that he knows. And he listens to them expound on this and that and bring out all of their scientific ideas and so on and so forth, and ways to create energy from nothing and so on. And then what the loafer does is he connects in his mind the doers that he knows that can do the designs that the thinkers thought up. And then without ever introducing the thinkers to the doers, he serves as the middleman, patents the work, establishes corporations, and profits off the mental and physical property of others. Thinkers, loafers, and doers, and like scum in a melting pot when you're casting bullets or refining gold, it's the scum of these loafers, unfortunately, that always rises to the top. The clean, the pure, the powerful, the positive base metals settle to the bottom, and it's the scum that rises to the top. And too often they become politicians and bankers and lawyers and professors and others. But let's continue. In 1889, the Second Socialist International was launched. Two International Socialist Labor Congresses were held at Paris at the same time. One, the Marxist, by 400 delegates, and the other, the Possibilists, by 600 delegates. Bet you'd never heard of the Possibilists before. In 1891, a Social Labor Congress was held at Brussels, at which 400 delegates were present from nearly every country in the world, including Canada and the United States. Among the topics discussed were the eight-hour day, militarism, universal suffrage, and legislative protection of labor. At the Congress of 1893 at Zurich, Switzerland, 385 delegates were present, and admission was denied to all avowed anarchists. The Congress, now assuming definite organization as the Second International, met in London in 1896 and arranged to meet every 4 years thereafter. The anarchists were again denied admission, and resolutions were adopted opposing standing armies, advocating the nationalization of land and the socialization of industry. The Brotherhood of Darkness, raising its ugly head. The London School of Economics, the foundation of the Council on Foreign Relations, starting here, the Rhodesian scholars, etc. The next Congress again was held in Paris in 1900, when the Assembly discussed the laws regulating strikes and boycotts and favored the abolition of the capitalist class. Resolutions were passed favoring a fixed minimum wage and the nationalization of mines. Very important there, especially in America. 1865 mining legislation coming under attack. Subsequent meetings were held in Amsterdam in 1904, Stuttgart, Germany in 1907, and Copenhagen 1910, and wouldn't you know it, Copenhagen 2010. Climate change should be rather interesting. They never do go away. And at Basel, Switzerland, in 1912. But 1 year before 1913, efforts to hold congresses during the First World War proved abortive. The Second International was revived in 1920 at Vienna. Oh yeah, Vienna. And set up on a reorganized basis at Hamburg in 1923, holding congresses thereafter at intervals of about 4 years until the outbreak of the Second Worldwide War, or Worldwide War WWW.2. Meanwhile, the Third Communist International, the Comintern, had been organized at Moscow in 1919 and held seven congresses until its dissolution in May Day, Labor Day, 1943. The International Labor Organization, the ILO, which was established in 1919 at the Paris Peace Conference and exists today, and of which the United States is a member, held its first session in Washington in 1919 and its 26th in Philadelphia in 1944. Plans for a worldwide labor conference sponsored by British Trade Union Congress and scheduled to meet in London in June of 1944 were suspended in May because of the Allied invasions of France on June the 6th. Continuing and nearing the end, the World Trade Union Congress, the WTUC, meeting in London in February 1945, discussed establishment of a new organization to replace the International Federation of Trade Unions. It just gets worse, people. Doesn't get to be any better at all. We'll pick it up on the other side on this Labor Day expose.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we've returned once again in our last and final segment of today's two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. During the 60s and the 70s, participation, especially by high school and college-age people, in sit-ins and love-ins and anti-war protests was considered virtually mandatory extracurricular activity. I know, I grew up at that time. Demonstrations of this kind easily drew upwards of tens of thousands of protesters, and often hundreds and hundreds of riot police with these full, clear plexiglass shields and hickory batons and mace and shotguns. And during this time period, for many, going to these demonstrations was pretty much a contact sport at the front line, as long lines of big, sturdy peacekeepers dressed in service blues met face-to-face with the anti-war protesters. It oftentimes resulted in many protesters being clubbed on the head and maced in the face, drugged behind the police lines and dragged feet first for city blocks or more, loaded into buses, hauled off to the local jail and booked for an overnight stay. Might get dumped out at 5 o'clock in the morning without your shoes, without your wallet, no car keys. Make your way. You're free. Come back on XYZ day for your hearing. And so on. But those were really high times, but there was also low times. And above all, there were changing times as the Jack Kerouac and Ken Kesey, Desolation Angels, Dharma Bombs era became the first beatniks, and then the hippies, the Flower Children, the Yippies, then the Yuppies, Generation X, their children. And for many, this time period facilitated their transition into the neocons, the Solinsky community organizers, etc., of which Barry the Usurper descends. There are things that we can do on a local level, but I think one of the best places to start is to understand, whether you go to the G20 summit or any of these various and sundries, you're continuing this agitation that started so long ago. We think about Labor Day, and certainly it's nice to get an extra day off so that you don't have to stand there at that turret mill and crank out flanges for sewer pipe or water pipe or oil lines one more day. It's nice to be able to just take an extra day off and not feel like you have to dip into your comp time or vacation time to get it. I understand that. But let's also realize that Labor Day, May Day, Labor Day, May Day, Workers of the World Unite Day, realize what it's all about and what we've given up to go down this road. Surely, there's nothing evil about labor. Labor is the sweetest part of life. I'd gladly switch off this microphone and never come back to the radio again if I thought in good conscience I could return to my blacksmith forge or go into my workshop, work in the yard or the garden. We have a generation of young people coming today, more younger people in the generation that will follow them, their children, some of them in swaddling clothes, just being born or pregnant in their mama's belly right now. And for those of us who have spanned this couple of generations and seen this transition, I feel it is incumbent upon me to come to the radio and alert you and warn you to be very careful. If you're going to go to a demonstration and face off now with the military, of course, there's nothing new about that. The shots were fired at Kent State, too, and protesters fell to the ground. The National Guard firing on students. Nothing new about that, really. Waco, Ruby Ridge, the supreme marksmanship of Lon Horiuchi as he shot Vicky Weaver while she stood on her front porch holding a baby in her arms. The intentional demolition of the Alfred P. Murrow building, the children and others that died there in daycare centers, and all of the records that were destroyed. Maybe on Friday we'll go back into the history of 9/11 a little bit, and I'll share with you what I felt on that morning. Certainly not 9/12, 9/11. I wasn't deceived. But labor plays a really important role in all of this, as does property. We've gone through that before. Your highest and your chiefest property is your body, physical, and your mind. The abolition of private property is the abolition of your body and your mind and your control over it. We talk about freedom on this broadcast far more often than I talk about liberty. I always bring out this idea of the pursuit of happiness. There's so much to all of that, the philosophical radicals in England. I spent the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Friday afternoon, Saturday and Sunday, rereading John Stuart Mill on liberty, on thought and discussion, his treatise, the seminal work on the topic from which many of the libertarians established their grounding, if you will. There have been many writers who have spoken on this in the past, and read about it, wrote about it, and then wrote well about it. Things that we need to understand. Let's look a little bit in this closing moment or two about labor, a brief definition. Again, out of the encyclopedia. Labor may be defined as the physical or mental effort of human beings for the attainment of some object other than the pleasure of the effort itself. Simple as this definition is, there is scarcely a word in it but what has been the subject of discussion. And much discussion there has been. Maybe you could sit down and write out what you understand, how you would define or give the meanings and senses today. What is labor? How does it fit into the overall picture? What changes are coming on and at the people in labor today? The popular use of the word labor restricts it to those who engage in manual toil, but this is, of course, too narrow. Now, of course, this encyclopedia article is lengthy because it really airs it out. Maybe you could take up a dictionary, the best in your house, or go up and visit one of these electronic dictionaries and Wikipedia and study a little bit about labor while you're waiting for the steaks to come to perfection on the grill. I think that's what people are supposed to do on this merchant man's holy day, is spend money and recreate, right? Any scientific definition, again, must include mental effort. In modern industry, brains are needed as well as muscle. Men must organize the productive forces and direct their employment along chosen lines, upon their ability quite as much as upon the skill and strength of the manual workers, and indeed to an even greater degree depends the success of modern enterprise. Go back in your mind or go back in the archives and listen to the broadcast where we began to discuss the rise of the commercial revolution, the rise of mercantilism, the end of feudalism, the rise of the bourgeoisie, the entrepreneur, and how the lesser or the minor nobility and the entrepreneur, the mercantilists, the tradesmen, were vying for the minds of the masses to lend them support and to reshape politics and religion, and did, and from which we get the parliament. The crown and parliament assembled, the House of the Lords and the House of the Commons, and then Congress and Senate and bicameral states. The rise of statism. There's an all-out war raging, my friends, between legal positivism and the natural law, that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensed, taxed, and revocable. What happened to that natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God, penned into the opening paragraphs of our Declaration of Independence? Who today could speak accurately on what is the natural law? What is legal positivism, and why does it matter? Maybe we'll cover that again later on Friday. We'll have Vicki Davis tomorrow, Tuesday, back again with Daryl Everhart on Wednesday, and you tomorrow morning here on Become Vocal Local Today.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.